Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 14th. JP2 race has three candidates. Election will be decided in the GOP primary. Ector County voters in Precinct 2 will decide to either keep the current Justice of the Peace, Missy Walden, during the Republican primary, or replace her with one of two challengers, Cynthia Moreno or Ron Hughes. There is no Democrat in the race, so the GOP primary is a winner-take-all. Walden is in her first term after beating six other candidates during the 2018 Republican primary. She emerged from the primary into a runoff easily, defeating Odessan Matthew Stringer with nearly 75% of the vote. Candidates must get more than 50% of the vote to avoid a runoff. Hughes. Hughes is a third-generation lawman who retired as a lieutenant following a 34-year career with the Odessa Police Department. Hughes says during that career, he worked in or oversaw every unit at the OPD, and that service has prepared him to serve as Justice of the Peace. Quote, "I'm fair, honest, and impartial," he said. "My law enforcement experience makes me qualified. I am running on my merits and reputation and my experience. I bring a lot to the table with 34 years' experience, and I am well-rounded," end quote. He said he understands the law and the responsibility of making decisions that affect people's lives. Hughes said JP offices were established to allow citizens speedy justice for civil cases and to ensure a fair, honest, and impartial resolution between the parties involved. Quote, "I understand these cases are important to the citizens and especially important to me. I have the experience to make proper decisions for all parties involved," end quote. Hughes said much of that experience comes from overseeing every unit at some time in his career with OPD. Quote, "I bring a lot to the table with 34 years' experience, and I am well-rounded, and I understand the law," end quote. He said citizens can use an attorney in JP court, but that you don't have to have an attorney if you can't afford one. Quote, "But you can have your case heard and take a dispute to have it heard, and a good judge will be fair, honest, and impartial. I am all of those things," end quote. Hughes has been married to wife Vicky for more than 36 years and has two children and three grandchildren with a fourth on the way. His son is also in law enforcement. He said he is better qualified than his opponents but plans a positive campaign on his merits and knowledge of the law. Walden. The incumbent touts her bringing more attention to technology to the office. She said her first term has been successful and the office was able to accept e-file for DPS tickets quickly when she took over. She said all debt claims are also now being filed digitally, and that has improved the efficiency of the office. She said COVID threw a curveball, but she is proud of how her staff and office worked through it. She said as of December 2021, her office was back in person, but that all debt claims are still done through Zoom and also evictions. She said public service is a privilege. Quote, "I am honored to have had that privilege for the last 17 years, she said, of her 14 years as court coordinator in the district courts and 3.5 years as JP. Quote, "I also want to continue to modernize the court by continuing the paperless processes that have already been implemented going forward with new processes that will make a difference in the efficiency of the justice courts and the administration of justice, end quote. She has 27 years of legal experience, with 14 of those working in the district courts. She has more than 150 hours of education in the area of court administration. Since becoming Justice of the Peace, she has 120 hours of education specific to Justices of the Peace. Moreno, age 54, is a lifelong Odessan who has been a legal assistant for 32 years in Odessa. She said she is running because of her love for the legal system. Quote, I love the legal field and the community, every aspect of it, end quote. She said she loves her current job and believes she is qualified to deal with the JP office, adding that Walden's office currently doesn't answer the phone and that she could make it a better office. Quote, it needs to be worked the way it is supposed to, end quote. She said she has taken courses at Midland and Odessa colleges and is familiar with all aspects of the law. She criticized the backlog in the court, which is something Walden has maintained she inherited and has mostly cleaned up during the last 2 years. Moreno says moving cases through more quickly will improve the flow of revenue and said she decided to run because of her love of the law and also because some in the community asked her to. She said she did not vote in the previous election and added she would do a better job. Quote, she does a horrible job. I just think I could make the office run better, end quote. She also said she could make the office self-sustaining through fines and fees, which Walden said is not possible, as most funds that come from fines go back to the agency that wrote the ticket, and also about half goes to the state. She said JP offices have no control over some situations, such as COVID, when fewer tickets were being written, and thus less money was coming in. Early voting begins Monday and ends on February 25th. Early voting at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, Room 104, at 1010 East 8th Street, has been scheduled from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through February 18th, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. February 19th, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. February 20th, and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. February 22nd through 25th. Early voting schedule at the branch locations will take place from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through February 18th, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. February 19th, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. February 20th, and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. February 22nd through 25th at Kellis Turner Community Building at 2230 Sycamore Drive, the Globe Theater at Odessa College at 2308 Shakespeare Road, Salinas Community Building at 600 West Clement Street, and MCM Elegante Hotel, Hawaii Ballroom, 5200 East University Boulevard. Citizens of the Year. This is a guest column written by Carol Cates, the Chief Nursing Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. We are very close to beginning year three of the COVID-19 pandemic. This week, finally, the number of cases here in Odessa is following the trend of the rest of the nation, and the Omicron variant wave seems to be subsiding. Unfortunately, the Omicron wave created numbers of hospitalized patients very similar to that of the wave in late 2020 or early 2021, and with that a huge number of deaths. I know the reports said over and over that the Omicron variant was less severe, but I also know it sure didn't feel like that in the hospital. While Omicron general had fewer hospitalizations per 100,000 people, it was so much more contagious than the previous variants that many more people contracted COVID than ever before. That meant, at the hospital level, the results was the same, far more patients needing hospitalization than there were beds. Before COVID, I cannot remember ever sending a patient home from the emergency room on oxygen if that was new for them. But that has changed in the last 2 years to the point where it's now almost routine to send people home from the ER on oxygen, not just here, but in every hospital in the U.S. The lack of beds made us only hospitalize the sickest of the sick. I know of patients that needed a hospital bed and weren't just sent to another hospital in a nearby city, but were sent states away. I have heard of people from this area being sent to hospital beds in Arizona and Colorado. I know at Odessa Regional Medical Center, we were called by hospitals in New Mexico and Oklahoma and from cities in Texas as far away as Houston and Brownsville on a regular basis as they were just trying to find an ICU bed for one of their patients. I am quite sure Medical Center Hospital received very similar calls. We had such issues finding beds for patients that there were many, many days in the last couple of months where we had nearly as many people waiting in the ER for beds in the ICU and COVID units of the hospital as we had ED rooms. And because of that, we were seeing other people in hallways and corners, literally anywhere we could find the space to tuck a patient, and many of those people were also very sick with things like heart attacks, strokes, and new onset seizures. Again, we were not unique in that. A friend of mine, who works in a hospital on the East Coast, told me they were holding several pediatric patients with COVID in their ED for more than 3 weeks before they were finally able to find pediatric ICU beds for those little ones. All through these waves of COVID over the last 2 years, the doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, radiology technicians, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, social workers, case managers, surgical technicians, certified nurses assistants, clerical folks, infection preventionists, human resource folks, dietitians, housekeepers, janitors, floor techs, dietary services staff, maintenance workers, admission staff, the financial staff, supply staff, security staff, and so many more folks that are absolutely vital to keep a hospital running showed up every day and continue to do so as we are going into year 3 of this awful pandemic. They continue to show up and hold hands, give hugs, comfort those who are in pain and far too often are dying. They do the many steps required to ensure that this disease is not transmitted to themselves, their loved ones, or most importantly, other patients. The burden on healthcare workers during this pandemic has been immense. It is often equated to conditions found by healthcare workers in war zones. That burden is taking a huge toll on healthcare. In 2020 alone, 500,000 healthcare workers left the profession. Preliminary data is showing 2021 was worse. I know every person I work with will carry permanent scars from the things they have experienced as healthcare workers over the past 2 years. To add to the burden, violence against healthcare workers is at an all-time high. Before the pandemic, nurses were 5 times more likely to be assaulted on the job than any other profession, and it's gotten worse since the pandemic began. The reasons are many, but it is one more thing that is taking its toll on healthcare workers. All of this and more is why I am so grateful that the Odessa Chamber of Commerce decided their annual Citizen of the Year Award needed to go to many individuals rather than just one. They named the staff of MCH and ORMC as their Citizens of the Year for the work they have done to support this community during the pandemic. I am so honored to be one of those citizens, but more so, I am beyond grateful that the Chamber of Commerce is recognizing the people on the front lines in such a meaningful way. The people I work with at ORMC and my colleagues at MCH are such amazing heroes. I am so proud that we live in a community that realizes how extraordinary these people are, how much they have sacrificed over the last 2 years, and how much more they will likely have to give before this pandemic is finally over. This week, as you encounter any of the amazing people who work at MCH or ORMC, please join the Chamber of Commerce and remind them how special they are. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 36,614 total cases, 637 deaths. Midland County, 36,215 total cases, 463 deaths. Texas, 6,509,857 total cases, 82,060 deaths. U.S. cases, 77,516,009 total confirmed cases, and 915,425 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Kids Pfizer Vaccine Clinic. Ector County Health Department has scheduled a Pfizer vaccine for kids from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Friday at Barbara Jordan Elementary Gymnasium at 9400 Rainbow Drive. There will be first and second doses available for children ages 5 through 11. A parent or guardian must be present. For information, call 432-498-4141, extension 0. Here are some Odessa American Quick Hits. Very special Valentine's Evening with Cam Bertrand. Professional Police Officers Association of Odessa has scheduled a very special Valentine's Evening with Cam Bertrand today at the MCM Elegante Ballroom at 5200 East University Boulevard. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and dinner at 7 p.m. There will be romantic music, dinner, and comedy. Dress code is business casual, collared shirt and slacks required for men. Tickets are $50 per person or $100 per couple. Tables are available. For tickets, visit tinyurl.com/3R6SW29T. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2ARWEAXV. Valentine's Date Night. Museum of the Southwest at 1705 West Missouri Avenue in Midland has scheduled a Valentine's Date Night and will show the classic movie Breakfast at Tiffany's from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. today at the Blakemore Planetarium. Champagne and dessert at 7 p.m., and the show will start at 7:30 p.m. Cost is $15 per couple for non-museum members and free for members. To RSVP or for more information, visit museumsw.org/events. Online Auction Fundraiser. Online Auction has been scheduled benefiting Grand Companions Humane Society, will begin at 8 a.m. Tuesday and end at 8 p.m. February 23rd at grandcompanions.org. Bowling for Fur Babies fundraiser will take place 10 a.m. February 26th at Diamond Lanes, 2208 East 8th Street. The cost of bowling is $30 for three games with a 9-pin no-tap format. For more information, call 432-352-0173 or visit grandcompanions.org. Candidate Forum. A state representative, House District 81, and 244th District Court Candidate Forum has been scheduled for 11:30 a.m. Tuesday at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. Admission and lunch is $25 with advanced reservations or $30 day of event. For reservations or information, text Tisha Crow at 432-559-7066 or email ectorcountygop@gmail.com or visit tinyurl.com/39HPU9XH. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North Farm to Market Road 1788 has scheduled The Mavericks at 7 p.m. Tuesday. The doors for this event will open at 7 p.m. For more information, call 1-800-514-3849. Comedian Alex Raimondo is scheduled to perform Tuesday at the MCM Elegante, 5200 East University Boulevard. Showtimes are 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Listen to radio stations Mix 106.7, KISS FM 103.3, or My Country 96.1 FM for a chance to win tickets. For tables, call 432-288-5321. Town Hall. U.S. Representative August Pfluger has scheduled a town hall meeting from 4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesday at the University of Texas of the Permian Basin, D. Kirk Edwards Building, Falcons Auditorium, Room 1014, at 4901 East University Boulevard. The Ector Theater at 500 North Texas Avenue will present Steve O., The Bucket List Tour, at 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Wednesday. For tickets or more information, call 432-227-0103.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, published Saturday, February 12, 2022. Psyllium and polyethylene glycol. Dear Dr. Roach, I have had constipation and my doctor advised psyllium and polyethylene glycol. I am concerned because the printout from the pharmacy says not to take these for more than 2 weeks. Will they be harmful over time? Answer. Psyllium husks are an excellent source of fiber, which is a useful and safe choice to treat constipation. Polyethylene glycol can't be absorbed by the body, so it passes harmlessly through the colon, taking fluid with it, relieving hard stools. These can both be used long-term without ill effect. The warning is there mostly so people will get evaluated, as there are causes of constipation that can be dangerous, such as colon cancer, thyroid disease, and many others. Dear Abby, Monday, February 14th, 2022. Grandmother upset with girls' clothing choices. Dear Abby, from time to time, I pick my granddaughter up from public school. This week, I picked her up on Tuesday and again on Friday. Both days, she was wearing the exact same outfit, a shirt hoodie that was too small, and hand-me-down jeans that were too big. On Tuesday, when my son came to get her, Mom wasn't with him, I told him I didn't like the jeans and the shirt hoodie was ill-fitting. He said he thought the jeans looked fine. Abby, I have bought many clothes for my granddaughter, and I know she should have other options. I've always been under the impression that no matter what you have, you always put your best foot forward. For reference, my son leaves home by 5:30 in the morning, and her mom takes her to school. Am I wrong to want to chastise my son and his wife for this? I sincerely think they are doing the child a disservice by allowing her to go to school this way. Perplexed Grandma in Texas. Dear Grandma, I wish you had mentioned how old your granddaughter is. Children these days choose their own outfits without help from their parents or input from their grandmothers. Your sense of style may be very different from your granddaughter's. This may be what the other students wear, and she doesn't want to be different. Most important is not what she's wearing, but whether she's clean and well-groomed. I sincerely hope you refrain from chastising your son and daughter-in-law about this, because I can guarantee it won't be appreciated. Dear Abby, my wife doesn't like the gifts I bought her. I got her an Apple Watch for her birthday, which is 2 days after Christmas. The only model they had in stock was the SE, which is a fine watch. If they had had the Series 7, I'd have bought it because I know how she is. Of course, she had to look up the price, which is $120 less than the Series 7. After spending $700 on designer bags for her for Christmas, buying her a dozen other things and an Apple Watch, she had the audacity to call me cheap. I am deeply hurt. I tried to talk to her about it, but she says I'm being overly sensitive. For what it's worth, she got me nothing for Christmas. What to do here? Not thanked in the East. Dear Not Thanked, it appears you married a demanding material girl. Someone, you perhaps, should point out that looking up the cost of a gift and calling the giver cheap is beyond rude. At the least, she owes you an apology. As to what to do here, in future seasons of giving, I wouldn't blame you if you were less generous with your selfish, ungrateful wife and closed your wallet. Dear readers, on this day of love, I want you to know how much I cherish the relationship I have with you. Wishing you a happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Love, Abby.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.